So I'll tell you right now, I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out how to write a sermon to address the recent attacks that happened in France, especially because my grandfather's from France. And I taught French for years and studied it for years. And I have about 4 pages of angry rantings all scribbled out in my office. And if it's all right with you, I think this needs to be addressed, but not right now, because you would just get a long, angry diatribe. And I'm still trying to find the hope in this situation. So if anybody has any, you let me know, and we'll talk about it next week. So for today, we're going to talk about Mary and Martha as I had planned. How many people have heard this story before? Yeah, I've heard it a lot. And what I find is that often when people hear this story, they tend to identify with either Mary or Martha, right? Right? Usually they identify with Martha, and they're really upset with someone who they think identifies with Mary. And on the one hand, when you first read this, the moral of the story is that we should all be more like Mary, right? Y'all get that? Yeah, that's the moral of the story. We all need to be more like Mary, fully present to Jesus, ignoring all of the daily things that go into living and taking care of families. But for anyone who's had to do all the housework while their significant other hangs out with his friends in the living room, for anyone who knows how much work goes into a dinner party, for anyone who's had to scramble to make room for unexpected guests, for anyone who's had to cook an entire Thanksgiving dinner by themselves while the rest of the family watches a football game, in the other room, the moral of this story rings a bit hollow, does it not? Rings a bit hollow. And one question I have long held is, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? He's constantly traveling and often finds himself in a new town with nowhere to stay. He goes where the wind takes him. You get the feeling he's one of those guests, you know, really great guy, but never RSVPs. Right? But then shows up an hour early with 12 of his friends and is like, you know, mind if we just make ourselves a sandwich and take a shower? So when I see this scene with Jesus appearing in a new village and some woman named Martha welcomes him into her home at the last minute while he's traveling, and she's running around trying to make dinner for him and his 12 disciples and get all their beds ready and probably trying to tidy up and do a million things to prepare, I get a little peeved when I hear Jesus say, "Chill out, Martha, you worry too much. Your sister here has the right idea. Come hang out. You quit harshing our mellow." Right? See, I think that the truth is Martha wants to be with Jesus. She wants to sit at his feet. What if she really wants to sit at his feet and listen to his stories and his teachings? What if she really does want to have private time with him and hear what he has to say to her personally? Most likely, she's heard of Jesus and knew he was coming to town, maybe with a little bit of short notice, but knew. She likely heard him speak at a public gathering earlier that day. I'm guessing she went to hear him talk and was moved by his words, or at least intrigued enough to offer him a place to stay for the night. And you have to be pretty darned intrigued by a total stranger to offer him and his 12 friends room and board for the night on the very same day they arrived in town. There was a trust there. There was a connection. She heard something that moved her, and she wanted more. And so she extends an invitation. She extends a warm hand of hospitality. She creates an opportunity for a deeper relationship, for the intimate act of breaking bread together in a family home. She invited Jesus into her life. But then something went wrong. Something went wrong. Martha stops thinking about what it will be like to be with Jesus. She stops thinking about all the things she wants to tell him. She stops thinking about all the questions she wants to ask. She stops thinking about all of the things she's been thinking about since she heard him talk that morning. She stops thinking about how much she wants to tell him, thank you. Thank you for saying exactly what you said. It made me think about my own life. It had an effect on me. It made me feel hopeful. It made me feel sad. It made me realize I need to make some changes. It made me think of this time when all this stuff started happening, and when I heard it, I started to feel loved. And all of this stuff that she's thinking, all of these things that were moving and burning and churning and beginning to come up for her, all this thirst for knowledge and spirit and love and God and all the growth that was starting to swell, it just stopped. Because it was in the way, because it was suddenly a distraction. Because Martha realized she had somebody coming over. She had guests coming over, and the panic kicked in. And then she was thinking about, is the bathroom clean? Do I have enough towels? What am I going to cook for dinner? I better make a list. I better ask my neighbor if I can borrow her good tablecloth. And then you know what happened, right? You know what happened? While she was chopping the onion, she cut her finger. And while she was making the pie, the crust tore. And while she was cooking the stew, it boiled over and made a mess on the stove. And while she was turning around to clean that up for 1 second, the dog jumped up and ate the butter right off the table. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And while she was making Jesus' bed, that's when she discovered her son had been hiding his girly magazines under there. And while she was setting the table, she discovered a chip in one of her wine glasses. And while she was trying to vacuum, you just know that belt broke. 20 minutes before guests arrive, that's always when the vacuum cleaner belt breaks. How many of us have found ourselves on our knees praying in front of a vacuum cleaner right before the guests arrive? Can I get an hallelujah? And she had to turn that darn thing over and find a screwdriver, you know, and get her hands all dirty, and then the bag puts the dust all over her dress. Right? Right? And the whole time she's doing all of this, her stupid younger sister is just sitting in the living room laughing at all of Jesus' jokes and asking him all sorts of stupid questions like, what's the secret to eternal life? What's heaven like? Tell me how to pray. And so Martha starts rolling her eyes. And she starts letting out really exasperated sighs. And Martha starts giving Mary the old stink eye. And then she's storming around under a dark cloud, and she's trying to carry the extra leaf for the table under one arm, and two folding chairs under the other arm. That's when she drops one, and it bangs against the table, and it makes a loud clatter, and it sloshes the red wine right onto her neighbor's good grandmother's old tablecloth. And that's when she curses. She means to do it under her breath, but everybody hears her. You know what I mean? She lets out a big old cursy curse, and everybody hears it, and they stare at her. And she looks at Mary sitting there doing nothing and thinks, if you had been helping me, none of this would have happened. This is all your fault. And Martha suddenly wants Jesus to know that if things aren't looking so perfect around here, he should look to the lazy sister in front of him, not the woman who's hefting the chairs all by herself. And she's starting to get a little upset that Jesus hasn't said anything to her all this time. And she's starting to feel a little used. And this little visit is not what she thought it was going to be. And by the way, what happened to all that talk about justice and peace and blessed are the meek and such that she heard earlier? And so she stares at the wine on the tablecloth. And she stares at the chair on the floor. And she stares back at her sister and stares back at the 12 wide-eyed apostles who stares back at Jesus. And then she bites her lip and she blinks back her tears. And she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. But what she doesn't realize is that Jesus sees her, and he is right there with her and present with her in all that pain. He watches her knowing. He sees her. He sees her in her distraction and her distress, and he sees all of her worries and knows how much she wants everything to be perfect and how she wants to be perfect and how she at least wants to appear perfect because she doesn't feel perfect, and so she wants Jesus to like her and to talk with her and tell her stories and teach her and make her feel again the way she felt this morning when she was listening to him but didn't think he saw her. when she felt calm and hopeful and loved and special and cherished and perfect, perfectly formed in God's image and perfectly loved and perfectly lovable. And that is exactly how Jesus sees her. She just can't see it herself. But Jesus sees her and is present with her in her own blindness. Jesus knows that, as often happens, he has appeared in this person's life at an unexpected moment, when they were completely unprepared, when she did not feel ready. He knows that if there were any day in Martha's entire life when she would want Jesus to walk into her life, this absolutely, positively, definitely would not be that day. This would not be that moment, because she's frantic and overwhelmed and angry and resentful and embarrassed and self-conscious and at odds with her sister, and she just doesn't have time for all of this. And this is really not her best side. And now her mascara is starting to run. And she doesn't understand why she is the one feeling so foolish when her sister is the one who's being such a snot. But Jesus is with her and sees her and is present with her in all of that resentment. And he knows how much impressions matter to her. And he knows how bad she's going to feel tomorrow when she realizes what a scene she created by involving guests in her family snit. And he knows how much fear she carries in her life. And he knows why she was so moved by his words and why she invited him into her home, though she herself has already forgotten. He knows she wants the freedom to love and be loved. He knows she wants freedom from worry and feeling like she can't be herself, and freedom from resentments and anger. He knows that she got a taste of it, just a taste, and he wants to give her more. He wants to reassure her. He wants her to listen to everything he has to say, and he wants to listen to everything she has to say and hear all of her thoughts and answer all of her questions and be there for her in every way. That is why she invited him, and that's why he came. But he can't force peace and happiness on her. He can't force peace and happiness on anyone. He could only offer it to her as a choice. She saw it once earlier, but then she went back to her worries. It's so easy to do. And she's making a choice right now in this moment as she stands next to the broken glass and the stained tablecloth with her cut finger and her laughing sister and the dust settling from the fallen chair as her curse echoes in the sudden silence of the room while everyone stares at her. She's making a choice right here between fear and love. And fear is making a strong pull. All of these people are staring at her and she feels foolish and angry and foolish. And the fear pulls her further into the anger and the resentment. But Jesus sees her and is present with her in all of her confusion. He seeks out her eyes. And he waits. He waits for her to be able to hold his gaze. He sees her tears. He sees her biting her lip. And he wants to give her the better choice. He wants her to join in the circle. All those people laughing together. He wants her to see that her sister is laughing in joy, not derision. He wants her to know that the men with him have seen this many times, have been in Martha's exact shoes many times. He wants her to know that all she has to do is step forward into the circle and she will find all this love and the peace she desires, but he can't do it for her. She has to make a choice. She has to trust that they can all eat off of a stained tablecloth and drink out of chipped glasses, and eat food that's gone cold. And all the family secrets can be aired right out, and none of it matters if there is love in the room. None of it matters if there is love in the room. None of it matters if she can trust that she is in a place with people where she can come exactly as she is, with her messy life, and her imperfections, and her family dramas, and her incomplete and unique understanding of Jesus and God. None of it matters if she can just be truly present. If she can just take a breath and let go and be present, truly present, just for a moment, she will again feel the peace and the love and the understanding that will make all of the details, all of these tiny, tiny things that she's so worried about, cease to matter. And Jesus sees her and is present with her in her indecision. And so he calls her by name. He calls her by name lovingly as to a cherished child. He speaks to her pain and he shows her just this choice in this moment. Martha, Martha. Lovingly. Martha, Martha. You are anxious over entanglements of life in the world and putting yourself in an uproar. There is only need for one thing. Just you being yourself. Mary has made the better choice, and you can see it cannot be taken away from her. He calls to her lovingly, and she has to choose between fear and love. Amen.